In Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 38, this is a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. And Sister Joy, when you began to sing, I couldn't hardly believe it. I believe some of the first words you said was Mary and Martha, or Martha and Mary, if I heard correctly. And their brother Lazarus, the Bible has quite a bit to say about this family. The Bible said in verse 38, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." If correctly read, that's Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through verse 42. Please be seated and pray for us and pray with us. Our Father, I want to thank you today for each one that's chosen to be here today at Bible Way Baptist Church. And Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that makes the word of God real to us. Lord, we see some families maybe that are out today. Maybe some are traveling, and I pray you'd take care of them. Lord, I pray you'd visit with Brother Andy and Sister Donna there in the hospital today. Help Laura, Lord, to get her vehicle safely off the road and taken care of. Lord, I just pray that Jesus would manifest his presence now. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I guess if I could title the message today, I would call it The Happy Homemaker. And I know it's Mother's Day, and normally we pick out a mother in the Bible. I cannot find anything in the history of Martha and Mary that would indicate that they had children. I don't know that they did. I don't know that they didn't. But we know they were a special object of our Lord Jesus' love. He cared for them, and he loved them deeply. When Lazarus died, of course, the shortest verse in the Bible is recorded. Jesus wept, and he had much compassion on that family. And I thank God that he has much compassion on our families. When we need him, he's never late. He's always right on time, and he knows what we need. I wanted to say in the onset of the message today, not all homemakers are mothers, but all mothers are homemakers. Not all homemakers are mothers, but all mothers are homemakers. I believe that the woman in the home has the capacity to make the home or to break the home. I believe the woman in the home sets the tone, much like the women in a church do, set the tone for the atmosphere there. I've thought about the ladies a lot this week. I got up this morning. I woke up at 6. I didn't get up yesterday morning. I got up about 4:30 or so. This morning I rolled over and got up at 7 and went into the kitchen. And there was my wife. She was cooking and preparing for the children to come this afternoon. And we're going to have a grand time. We're looking forward to it. But I hugged my wife and I said, "Darling, don't you be offended by what I'm preaching this morning." Amen. Because I will say this. Most of us, if we would be honest, are cut out a lot more like Martha than we are like Mary. Most of us, I say. If that's not the case in your life, then I thank God, and you should, that that's not the case in your life. But I want to speak to our hearts today, hope that God will just minister to our hearts today together. Give you some things that the Lord spoke to my heart about. First of all, the beauty of a homemaker. We have young ladies here today that it won't be too long and they'll be getting married, you know, according to the natural progression of things. And I'm not thinking about Chloe in particular, Brother Steve. Amen. Brother Steve has guns. He's trying to keep them run off. Amen. Trying to delay the inevitable. But it won't work forever. Amen. And anyway, the message would not only be for those that are homemakers now, but those that will be homemakers shortly. The beauty of a homemaker. I see this in the verse. In verse 38, in your hearing we read, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. The most beautiful thing I can think about for a homemaker is to always make sure that Jesus is welcome in their house. You say, Pastor, that is so elementary. I'm telling you, that's why marriages are failing. I'm telling you, that's why that homes are being wrecked and broken, and why that people are not content in the situation that they're in. Because when Jesus gets boxed out of the house, I'll say this, or the house of God. In the book of Revelation, he's caught standing at the door knocking, wanting to come in to the church. Wouldn't it break our hearts this morning to know that we met without him? Because I'll be honest with you, it's all vain without him. Nothing of an eternal consequence will ever be accomplished apart from his presence. And if you want a home that honors the King of Glory, then the King of Glory must be welcome in that home. He must be welcome. And so I believe that this is something that didn't just happen occasionally. The record here gives us this one occasion. But I believe this. Let me say this. Jesus knew at the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he knew, Brother Ralph, that he was welcome in that home. I read a little pamphlet one time, If Jesus Knocked at Your Door. I don't remember the gist of it, but in other words, it was something, or I don't remember the particulars, I remember the gist of it. It was something like this: are there any magazines that you would have to discard or cover up? Would there be a Bible that you could find readily if Jesus knocked on your door? Would you have to change the channel on the television if Jesus knocked at your door? Is there something that you would have to change about the music? And I'll be honest with you, beloved, there's a lot of music that goes on today. I don't even call it music. It's a mess, if you ask me. Amen. And all it's doing is promoting sin on every corner. There ought to be, beloved, in the home, some things that would be pleasing to the Lord. The beauty of a homemaker. She showed hospitality, and she showed humility in inviting the Lord Jesus into her home. And I think that's a wonderful thing. I was reminded as I was preparing this week about my wife when we were pastoring in Wise, and we had a missionary family. Miss Eve, did they have 5 or 6 girls? There was a bunch of them. And I mean, they were teenage years on down, some like young adults. And my wife, listen, she worked and worked and worked, and not one offered to do anything to help her. That left a mark. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen, you might have to make my wife sit down if she comes to your home, but she's going to offer to help you. Amen. She's not going to sit there. I sat there at Lowe's waiting to meet a fellow the other day, and a fellow rolled a big cart of lumber out. I said, Brother, if you don't mind, I'm going to help you put that in your trailer. I can't sit over here and watch you do fight those long tuba sixes by yourself. And he said, I appreciate that. And he received a card, Brother Steve, and said that he would do that. In other words, it's a beautiful thing for a homemaker to make sure that Christ, and let me say this, and others are welcome in their home. I believe this. My wife, we have a young man in our neighborhood. He has stopped by many times, and my wife will see to it that he has a snack. She'll see to it that he has something to drink. She'll see to it that he can get up in the shade on the porch and rest a little while from his bike ride. And in other words, beloved, listen, we never know when we're entertaining angels unawares. And Jesus was welcome in this home. So I see the beauty of a homemaker. Secondly, in the message today, I see the Bible of a homemaker. The Word of God said here, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I believe today that it's important that the Word of God has its proper place in the home. You should have seen the look on Sawyer's face this morning when he started quoting a verse of Scripture and Papaw finished it. In other words, he knew the whole verse. He was maybe having a little bit of a hard time, but he just started quoting it. And listen, the children need to know the Word of God. Mom and Dad need to know the Word of God. We need to memorize the Word of God. We need to read the Word of God. We need to heed the Word of God. The Word of God, if we're going to be the homemaker that's happy, needs to have its proper place in our hearts and in our lives. I believe with all of my heart that one of the things that's wrong in our nation is we have gotten away from God's Word. The commandments, they're wanting to take them down out of the courtrooms. But I'm going to tell you something right now. They're still standing, whether they're hanging on the wall of the courtrooms or not. I told a couple yesterday what was wrong when God wrote this Bible is still wrong today. What was right when God wrote this Bible is still right today. I want to give you this. I want you to think about this for just a moment. The message is going to kind of blend together. We've talked about the beauty of the homemaker and the Bible of the homemaker. But I want to talk to you thirdly about the bitterness of the homemaker. I want you to just, before I get into this deeply here for a moment, let's read the text. In verse number 40, the Bible said, but. Anytime God uses that word in the Bible, it's kind of like there's an opposite or there's a different thing to look at here. There's just something that's completely contrasting what you just saw in the text. So you see Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. I'm going to go ahead and say this. That's not easy for anybody's flesh. The flesh don't want to be still and know that he is God. The flesh don't want to pray. The flesh don't want to sit at his feet and hear his word. The flesh wants to go. Somebody say amen. The flesh wants some noise. We want the radio. We want the TV. We want to be busy, busy, busy. But I want to show you something here in the bitterness of the homemaker. But Martha was cumbered. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, I know I've said this before, but I must say it again. Anytime, Brother Larry, that Satan can get you and I to even begin to believe a little bit that our Savior doesn't care, he's got an inroad into our life. If he can get you in your home to thinking that the Savior, see, what she says is, Lord, dost thou not care? I'll tell you something right now. It's our Heavenly Father that instituted the home. It's our Heavenly Father that instituted marriage. It's our Heavenly Father that loves the home when the home is set up Listen to me. We're living in a sick society today. They're out there trying to get do away with Mother's Day. They're sick. They're sin sick. They're afraid it's offensive to two men that have married. God help us. The Word of God is true. And this woman is going to be so busy now that bitterness creeps up in her heart. And she says, Lord, dost thou not care? Bid her. Lord, tell her to help me. I'm going to tell you something right now. Last time I checked, I have a Savior that I'm not supposed to be telling what to do, but He's supposed to be telling me what to do. That's why I don't go in for this TV evangelism junk. Amen. Really march in the throne room of God, command God to do this and command God to do that. I'm one of His little sheep. He's the shepherd. He's the one leading the way. He's the one calling the shots. The bitterness. She's cumbered about with much serving. Came to Him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Y'all bear with me for just a moment. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you men could have a little bit more compassion, your pastor included. When you think about how many times in a month that same pair of socks passes through those hands. Is anybody home? When you think about in a month how many times those dishes pass through that same set of hands. How many times in a month that dust cloth is used by that same set of hands. How many times, beloved, listen, that homemaker over and over. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say now? Here's what I'm trying to say. It would be easy to become bitter. Something that's helped me. I mean, you mow the grass and you do this twice and you mow it again. Now, I don't do like my dad. My dad fertilized grass. You can mark this down. It don't say in that Bible, but that's a sin. Fertilizing grass has to be a sin, unless it's a ball field chance. Amen. That might be all right. Amen. Has to be. He put that weed and feed on there. And then my weedy feed had to mow it. But I tell you something that's helped me. Sometimes you just get tired of mowing grass. And you get tired of weed eating. And you get tired of painting. I tell you what's helped me. Be riding that Simplicity lawnmower. If you ever get your heart right, you'll get you one. And just look down, Brother Anthony, at it and say, Lord, I'm glad I don't have to push this big old yard. I'm glad I don't have to smell goats, brother. Just fence them in, amen, to chew the grass off, amen, and chew the briars up around the fence. In other words, beloved, listen. It's a full-time job. I don't care who you are this morning. To keep your heart sweet. Go to work again, Brother Aaron. Here we go again and again. And if we're not careful, it turns into a grind. And the blessing turns into a burden. Especially for homemakers. I'm honest with you. I'm glad God made me a man. I'm glad God made me an outside person. Amen. I mean that. Our home needs a remodel on the inside right now, and I've been doing it for 3 years, Brother John. You know what I've got done on it? But in my mind, I've done it. Does that count? Brother John said it does, amen. You know what he's afraid of? I'm going to ask him to help me. Amen. I just like being outside. Give me something to do outside. I don't care if it's a lot harder to do. It takes longer to do, more sweat to do. Just give me something to do outside. That's just the way I am. I'm cut out that way. But this woman, she's got a good heart. She is concentrating so much. Listen to me right here. You can have guests coming, And if you're not careful, you can concentrate so much on the outside. I'm talking about what they're going to see, what they're going to hear, what they're going to experience on the outside, that you forget about the inside. Martha wanted it to be just right. Can I say this to you? You can go overboard with that. You can go overboard with wanting everything to be just right. If we're not careful, what has entered into the picture is something called P-R-I-D-E. We're that way, aren't we? Listen to me. If you needed my car this afternoon, you're welcome to it. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to run home right quick. I'm going to get the vacuum cleaner out right quick. I'm going to get the trash out of the floorboard right quick. I'm going to vacuum it right quick. I'm going to wash it right quick. Then I'll bring it to you. That's the way we are, is it not? The homemaker needs to be on guard for bitterness. Troubled here. It carries with it the idea of being distracted, being disturbed. Good things can distract us from the best things in life. Good things can overwhelm us. It's good for mama to cook. It's good for mama to do the cleaning and do the laundry. It's good for mama to do what needs to be done. But I'll tell you something right now. We got to watch that heart, or we're going through the motions. And what once, listen, I'll give you a challenge. Sister Teresa, think about this, honey. The next time you go to the kitchen sink, Miss Eve didn't have a dishwasher till just a little while back. I mean, three or four Christmases ago, the kids got her one. But anyway, you go to the sink and you're going to wash up some dishes. How many ladies do that every once in a while? Homemakers, you just go to the sink and you wash up some dishes. What do, sister? You get Trent to do it? Is that what you do, Sister Amanda? Okay, amen. Trent, you need to learn, son. I got to do the dishes in my house when I was growing up because I did them right. My brothers wouldn't do them right. Man, did I need to learn, amen. Anyway, when you turn that faucet on, I want you to think about something. Why don't you just stand right there just a moment and thank God that you've got water running into the house. That you don't have to go out there at the foot of the mountain at the spring and gather some water and bring it. You're shaking your head, sister. I remember my grandparents, amen. By the way, that's the best tasting water you'll ever taste in your life. It's the sweetest water you'll ever put in your mouth. But I'm telling you, beloved, you don't have to carry the water in. And when it's cold in the winter and there's snow on the ground, you don't have to go out to the outhouse. When's the last time we thanked God that we had water running into the house? That we had a roof over our head? That we had a wall to paint? We had carpet to vacuum? We had electricity? Years ago, I heard a story about a man that went in an old woman's house. He was a vacuum cleaner salesman. He had him a bucket of dirt. She'd done heard about him in the neighborhood, what he'd been doing. And anyway, he said, ma'am, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to demonstrate for you today. She said, no, don't do that. He said, ma'am, you don't have anything to worry about. The machine that I've got, you don't need to worry about a thing. She said, no, don't do that. He took that bucket of dirt and dumped it out there. He got his cord. He said, ma'am, where am I going to plug this up? She said, I told you not to do that. I don't have electricity. When's the last time you plugged the vacuum cleaner in? And thank God you have electricity. I'm not fussing at you this morning. We're all cut out just alike. If you leave it up to the flesh, you'll be an unthankful, bitter person. But if you'll let God move in your life, you can take that shirt when you go to fold it. You could say, Lord, I thank God for them two arms that's going to be going through there. And that head that's going to be popping through that hole on top. You get them little blue jeans or them little breeches or a little skirt or a little dress. I thank God for them little legs that's going to be running through there. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. I'll get me an amen right here. They won't be little long. They're going to grow up. Make sure they don't grow up in a bitter home. The last thing I want to give you, we're talking about the beauty of the homemaker and the Bible of the homemaker, the bitterness of the homemaker. I want to give you this, and I'm done. The balance of the homemaker. If we're not careful, listen to me carefully, if we're not careful, we'll get out of balance right here, and we'll say, well, Mary's not doing anything. She's just sitting over there at the feet of Jesus, hearing His Word. Martha's doing everything. Can I tell you, in the middle, there's a balance. How many of you all have ever been in a home, it was probably yours, but when a washing machine got out of balance? How many's ever heard a washing machine get out of balance? I'm telling you, it sounds like there's a thrashing going on in the basement when a washing machine gets out of balance. Well, what happens is, most of the time it's something like a quilt or a bedspread, something that's heavy, and it gets all over to one side. And that washing machine's spinning just like it always spun, but it's out of balance. How many's ever had a vehicle with a tire that's out of balance? You go down the road and your teeth go, you shake your teeth out. Can I tell you this? It's a full-time job. I don't care if you're talking about a pastor, a husband, a homemaker. It's a full-time job to try to keep a balance in your life. There is work that needs to be done, but the work should never take the place of the worship that needs to be done. We need to sit at His feet. Brother John was preaching the other Sunday night, talking about years gone by and the Independent Baptist Church and some of the problems that we experienced. Well, Brother John, the motive changed when the heart changed. He was right. He said our motive, you know what I mean? You got to watch your motive. Why do you want to see the house of God filled? Why do you want to see your Sunday school class built up? I believe a lot of the motives change when that closet life, that prayer life, that sitting at the feet of Jesus. I'll be honest with you. You tell me if you think I'm right. We don't have the power in the church of the living God the way we used to have. How many believe that's a true statement? How many believe the reason is not the source? He's the same yesterday and today and forever. I'll say this. It would probably embarrass us if we sat down and made a record of last week of the balance, the work and the word, the work and the worship. I believe it would embarrass us. Is anybody home this morning? The Bible said here, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen the good part that shall not be taken away from her. Lest I forget it after a while, I want to give you something that the Lord spoke to my heart about years ago. How many's ever heard somebody make this statement? Well, the devil robbed me. How many's ever heard somebody make that statement? I don't believe it. I don't believe the devil robs people of that time at the feet of Jesus. I believe we either forfeit it, because let me tell you something, that will not want to sit at the feet of Jesus. That's a life that knows they're living contrary to the will of God. They don't want to come into His presence and sit there at His feet. I believe with all of my heart that we either forfeit that time or we trade it for something else. It could be some hobby. It could be something good. I mean, we're talking about working on the home and things need to be done around the home. I mean, you could be so busy doing good things that you left off the best thing. The thing that Jesus said is needful. I want to make a statement, and I want y'all to think about what I'm going to say. But I believe Jesus would have been pleased to come in their home that day. It wasn't the table that he was so interested in. It was them. Honey, he wants you. I believe that, Jerry, I believe Martha could have handed him a little piece of fish and a little piece of bread, and you'd have never heard one complaint out of the heart of the Savior. He would have probably been sitting there thinking, like, that's more than mankind deserves. And so, as we look at this last thing, the balance, she sits at his feet. You know, that's the position it's taught in the Word of God of a disciple, somebody that's longing to learn. You remember Paul made a statement later that he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a very learned man. It was a position of humility. In other words, there's somebody that knows something that I don't know, and I need to sit here and learn what they can teach me. Brother Grizzle, the more I learn, the more I know I don't know. The more I need to learn. You remember the maniac? They found him in the graveyard. Chains wouldn't hold him. Jesus cast those demons out. Do you remember that? Do you know what the Bible said? They found him clothed and in his right mind. Where was he at? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. And you know what? There's something come out of that, Brother Larry. He's saying, I'm paraphrasing now, I want to go with you, Lord. Hey, I'm going to tell you something right now. You sit with him and you'll want to go with him. You'll want to serve him. You'll want to tell others about him. But Jesus said to him, go home. Tell thy friends how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Boy, don't you just know that when that maniac went home, it was a grand time. Amen. Can you believe this? The change that was made in his life. The balance. Mary is devoted. Martha's discouraged. Mary is sitting. Martha's standing. Mary is listening. Martha's speaking. Mary is resting. Martha's tiring. Mary's priority was the Word. Martha's priority was the work. Mary is concerned with her heart. Martha is concerned with her hands. Mary is concentrating on the eternal. And Martha is concentrating on the temporal. The balance of the homemaker. I told y'all that was the last thing, didn't I? I didn't mean to lie, but I did. There's one more thing. There is. I want you to look at the blessing of the homemaker and I'll be done. I forgot about this. The Lord added this in my heart this morning. Turn with me to John chapter 12, just a moment. John chapter 12 and verse 1. John chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, six days before the Passover, he came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary, I want you to watch this now, a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I'm going to stop right there and give you this. I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget it. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Most of the time when you go visit someone's home at supper time, the house is filled with the odor of supper. But after Mary did what she did, the house was filled with the odor of supping. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I'll sup with him and he with me." I'm going to ask you a question. How many's ever been to a home where it was filled with the odor of supping? Where you could just tell there was a man that was madly in love with his wife, and a wife that was madly in love with her husband, and a mother and a father that dearly loved their children, and a father that realized he was the head of his home, but there was a head above him. That is Christ. That ought to be the desire of every one of us. The blessing. What are you getting at, Pastor? Look at it with me, please. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" And he said, not that he cared. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. I'm going to give you something right now. Listen to me carefully. Those that were standing there that day, if you don't get anything else I've said today, please get this. They were saying to Mary, "That's a waste." Can I tell you this? Anything that God puts in your heart as a result of sitting at His feet will never be a waste. Old Slewfoot may tell you you're wasting your time. Your family may think you're wasting your time. But don't you ever, beloved, listen, believe the lie of the devil. If God puts something in your heart as you sit at His feet, you carry it out, it will never be a waste. I'm not going to take the time to read the scripture, but Jesus said this, wherever this gospel is preached, it's going to be spoken of. You got the poor with you always. In other words, beloved, here is a woman that is doing what she's doing because she understands something that others do not understand. As she understands the secret of the Lord, God will reveal those secrets to them that fear Him. Watch this now. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" Jesus said, "Against the day of my burying." Boy, God just gave me a statement. I believe it was Brother Howard Robinson used to say this. He used to say, "Give people the flowers while they're living." That's exactly what Mary was doing. She was giving Jesus the flowers while He was living. Amen. Now, she knew that He was going to die when no one else recognized it. Someone that was sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing His word knew that He was going to die. I'll say this. There may be some things that are offered to the Lord for an external show out of pride that He may reject. But I promise you this. Anything that was birthed in a believer's heart sitting at the feet of Jesus, that doesn't bring about pride. That brings about humility. There's a God in heaven that knows. There's 10,000 men that can do a better job at this than what I'm doing. But I just praise God I get to have a little place in His work. It's humbling to have a Sunday school class. It's humbling to have a call on our life, Brother Steve, to preach that glorious book. It's humbling, homemakers, to know that God has given you a home to take care of. It's humbling. Matthew chapter 26, and I'm finished. The Word of God, verse 12 and 13. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, speaking of Abel, he, being dead, yet speaketh. You know what I believe ought to be our desire? My desire that ought to be in the ears of Sawyer. When Papaw's gone, Papaw has lived in such a way and spoken in such a way that something will live on in his life. Homemakers today, I pray God will take something that's been said and encourage you, challenge you. Someone said years ago, and I believe it's true, as the church goes, so goes the home. And as the home goes, so goes the nation. Think about what I just said. No one wants to touch it with a 10-foot pole. I should back up on that. There are a few in our leadership that will touch it. It doesn't go anywhere. But beloved, much of the problems in our society is a lack of a mother and the lack of a father. I'm not fussing. Be the best mom you can be. If you're a mamaw, be the best mamaw you can be. Every time I think about grandparents and think about my dad, he just said, I know if them grandkids that good, I'd have had them first. That'd been awesome, wouldn't it? Amen. You know what the problem is? I learned this, Sister Carol. When we were raising kids, we were so busy, we didn't even know how to appreciate them. We were just like Martha, covered about with my servant, running here to there, trying to make a living, trying to put clothes on their back, food on the table. Brother David, we get a little older, we slow down, and we begin to appreciate. It ain't just some new car, or new carpet, or new paint. There's something a whole lot more important in life than the things of this world. Somebody say amen. Whole lot more important. The happy homemaker. I want to give you a challenge. How many remembers in the book of Acts when they came upon Peter and John? They made a statement, Brother Steve. I may not get it exactly right, but it said that they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men. But they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Boy, the Spirit of God put that in my heart this morning. You know whatever homemaker's desire ought to be? Whoever comes through that door. That don't mean you're preaching to them when they come through the door. What that means is that they would be able to sense the presence of your Heavenly Father in that home. You don't get that with all the fussing and cussing. Say amen. That's exactly what the devil wants us to do. Fuss all the way to church and get out and grin from ear to ear and come in, go back and finish the fuss after church. God help us. God help us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this privilege to be here. Lord, I believe you're trying to help us that we might understand, God, that we need a balance in our lives. Lord, no wonder the flesh, no wonder the world, no wonder Satan fights this balance in our lives. Lord, all of those hours in a day, all of those days in a week, all of those weeks in a month, and we find ourselves with so little time for Thee. Would you speak to our hearts today? Would you help us, our Lord, that when others come in our homes, they might take knowledge that we've been with Jesus. Help us, Lord, as a church to do what we can, our Lord, to reach our community before it's too late. Let's stand together.